Before we partake of the Lord's table, I'd like to share an emphasis with you this Sunday. And Lord willing, in the weeks to come, I'd like to take one aspect of this ordinance and kind of highlight it before we partake, so we can do so just meditating upon that truth, thinking about it. And really what comes to mind is the various ways this ordinance is described. You know that it's described by many different things, the Lord's table, right? Communion, Lord's Supper. And this morning, I'd like us to think about the fact that it's called the Lord's table and the significance of that. And it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians, we kind of see this alluded to, but even in the Greco-Roman world, it's made evident that there were other tables of religious deities. There were other gods and goddesses that were honored, that were observed in the Greco-Roman world. Let me read for you something that comes out of a papyrus dating to the 2nd century. And this is what it says. It's an invitation to a certain meal, a supper, to the table of this pagan god. This is what this document said, this papyrus. Cheramon invites you to dinner at the table of our Lord Serapis. That's a cult god. In the Serapium tomorrow, the 15th at 9 o'clock. It was an invitation to a sacred meal where Serapis, this divine being, allegedly, would preside over the table, would rule over the table. And you going and partaking of that table were showing your honor, your allegiance to this divine being. And many times, right, food is a way of celebrating. It's a way of maybe you throw a meal for somebody in honor or something like that. That's what this was. That's what was going on at the time. The Apostle Paul writes 1 Corinthians 11 to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about not taking lightly what this table is all about. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul also makes a comment that, again, if we're not understanding the historical cultural context, we can kind of just skip over. But he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. What's Paul saying? He's saying that this table of the Lord is something special. It's an opportunity by which we honor the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we cannot do so faithfully and truthfully while we're also eating and drinking at the table of a pagan god. So in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, we have a couple different issues. One is the issue of the meat that's simply offered to those gods. Is it okay to eat it, right? And my understanding of that text is Paul saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with eating that meat, okay? You understand that these gods aren't even real. But at the same time, there's another thing he's concerned about, and that is their identification at these pagan feasts. Dining where these pagan gods are being honored. And he's saying, you cannot do so. You can't do so truthfully. You can't do so in good conscience if you are also partaking of the table of our Lord. So what's the principle here? Well, first of all, the fact that Jesus Christ is present at the table. I didn't say that he is, this is his actual body and blood. But Jesus is present at the Lord's table. And that's why this should be important to you and I. That's why we have reverence, right? That's why we unite together and we take this seriously, because Jesus is here in a very real sense. It's his table. But also, Jesus presides over this table. He's the Lord of this table. He's the head of the table. He's the one who calls the feast. And so it's not the pastor of the church. It's not the deacons. It's not even the saints that go before us. We aren't holding this in honor of anybody. I'm not the head of this table. This is the table of our Lord. That's why it's called the Lord's table. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is the one we are here to honor in this ordinance. We're honoring him as the head. He's the head of the church. He instituted this ordinance, and he is the head of this table. And lastly, I could say this, that Jesus is the one who invites you to this table. He's the one who invites you. I read to you that little papyrus, right, where you have these non-believers inviting each other to come to dine at the table of their gods. Well, it's Jesus himself who gave his disciples an invitation. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And so I hope you're not here because last week I just said, oh, we're doing this, right? No, you're here because Jesus has invited you to come. And Jesus has invited you to partake if you're a believer in him, a true believer. So what we will do as well is I'm not going to serve this to you to kind of think about the image that we are talking about in Scripture, that this is the table of our Lord. I would invite you to come. To come and partake, because Jesus invites you to come and partake. And we don't do altar calls at our church. There's a reason for that, by the way. I the last thing I want to do is guilt somebody into walking an aisle and make them think that makes them right with God. But this would be a very appropriate time for us to come forward. If our heart is right with God, if we've done business with the Lord, and partake, because Jesus